Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
Every new mother goes through what is called the fourth trimester, which is the 12-week period immediately after you have had your baby. To tell us more about this and why there needs to be a post-birth recovery plan for new mammies, we're joined by Leslie Gilchrist, who is the founder of My Expert Midwife and is a well-known midwife from Channel 4's One Born Every Minute. Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Hi, Dermot. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Fascinating topic and one that maybe we don't talk about enough. Can you tell us, what do you mean by the fourth trimester of a pregnancy?
So pregnancy is split up into three trimesters, one, two and three, that takes women from the minute they find out they're pregnant or conceive right the way through to the day the baby's born. The postnatal period is what we refer to as trimester four. So that's once the baby's born and the first sort of 12 weeks, really. But it never really had a name. It was never given much funding. Women were kind of expected to know what to do with a baby. And women as well were spending so much time focusing on birth, all the antenatal classes, the planning, that there was almost a reluctance to really look at the reality of giving birth and almost like that aftermath of what can you expect. It's more about that first fourth trimester when we talk about it. It's more about helping women and their partners to understand the reality of that time, that it's not easy. You do probably need some help, physical help, emotional help, and a bit of a plan.
What are those practical steps then? You think that, you know, a husband and wife, a couple of partners can make when they're about to enter into this fourth trimester?
So as a midwife, I used to always say to women and the partners, right, just imagine you've been on a stag weekend to Ibiza and you've been away for 3 days. So you've been up, you've been partying, you're exhausted. You're absolutely exhausted by the end of it. And then I give you a baby and say, there you go. You can't spend the next 2 days in bed recovering. You now need to look after this baby. And also, in amongst all that carry-on that you were having, you ran a marathon for whatever reason possessed you. You decided that you were going to run a marathon. So not only are you sleep deprived, you're physically exhausted. And because, you know, that you ran this marathon when, you know, God knows what you were doing, you probably injured yourself as well. So you've got muscles that need to repair and rejuvenate and heal. And it's only really when you bring that reality of what, you know, they probably have a reference point to that they think, God, yeah, actually, I can remember that stag weekend or that weekend.
Yeah.
I was exhausted and nobody in their right mind would have expected me to look after a baby. So if we say to women, right, you're going to be really exhausted. Your partner's been up for the same amount of time as well. They're going to be exhausted. You're going to have a baby that's going to wake up every 2 to 3 hours, wanting a feed for half an hour and then a bum change. And then they'll want to be soothed and settled. You know, you're not going to get any sleep to recover within that. So you need to plan. You need to plan for how to maximise the sleep that you can get. And if you can, if your partner can, work as a tag team. So if that means one of you sleeping in the night so that they can look after both of you in the daytime and help you with food and just settling baby, it just means that the mother, if she is breastfeeding, has that time when she knows, right, well, I'm doing everything from, say, 10 p.m, 12 p.m, right the way through to 6 a.m, but at 6 a.m., I can have a sleep. Don't have to worry about settling, and I don't have to worry about bum changes. I don't have to worry about cooking because my freezer's full, because every time I made a meal from sort of 36 weeks onwards, I doubled the amount that I was making, and these are now in the freezer. And it's just that planning and understanding that you will need rest, but it's not always possible. So having that discussion with your partner if they're able to, and you know, not every partner will want to do that. There's a lot of partners will say, no, I really want to, you know, help you in the middle of the night. And then it becomes this sort of mishmash of everyone's exhausted, you know.
Yeah, and then the smallest things seem like the biggest things. And I know there's a tradition, certainly in Ireland, and maybe it's the same in the UK, that when someone suffers a bereavement, one of the first things that neighbours or friends tend to do is bring food. Because obviously, you know, the family is focused on you know, the reality of what's just hit them. And, you know, cooking isn't really a thing. And I wonder, would it be better than bringing, you know, here's a box of nappies and a baby grow I bought you for your new baby. Yeah. You just go, no, actually, here's a lasagna and here's one to stick in the freezer. That would be so much more useful.
I mean, it's that, like with bereavement, it's that trying to help. We feel like that need to actually be helpful and do something. Whereas, you know, when a baby's born, it's almost even as if that women all of a sudden don't really matter. Just come to see the baby. Just want to have a cuddle and see the baby. When in actual fact, that's the last thing that woman wants. You know, she's 2-3 days after childbirth. She's probably in pain, if not discomfort. She's exhausted. She doesn't feel cracking. She's not done her hair, because who would? You know, the place is a mess. You know, she just wants to be able to sit in her front room, which is a mess, and not have to worry or clean. And, you know, there's not many women feel comfortable about having visitors round without having to tidy up. You know, I mean, I'm the same when my mother comes over.
So if someone goes to myexpertmidwife.ie, what do they find? How will you help them?
Well, we have a recovery ebook that is downloadable. And that is a brilliant guide that just helps you to plan, gives some really brilliant tips about that physical recovery, but also planning and roping in, you know, family, because even with restrictions, they can still do drop-offs, you know, and they'll feel needed as well that way. We have loads and loads of blogs on every subject in pregnancy, but also that postnatal recovery as well.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, that idea of having a plan, I certainly didn't have any for any of my four kids when they arrived.
And I remember, Leslie, I don't know how many visits you get from the district nurse in the UK, or if that's maybe you have a different version, but I remember the district nurse came to our house for her, you know, one of three visits, whatever it was, you know, and we were practically holding on to her ankles as she walked to the front door to get back into her car. We were like, don't leave us. We don't know what we're doing with this child. So any bit of comfort, any bit of knowledge and sort of recognition and reassurance that this is a difficult time and you can't be expected to know everything, it's got to help.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, the most natural thing really about it all is that the actual birth, your body just takes over and does it. You know, it kind of makes you push in the same way that, you know, if you need to be sick, your body makes you do it. You can't think, oh, just give me 5 minutes till I get comfortable. It's just there. And we spend so much time educating women about how to do that and supporting them. You know, that 24 hours that they may be in labour, they've got someone with them all the time. And then we give them a baby, you know, an actual human, little human, and then say, oh, you'd be grand because it's all instinct and natural. Yeah. And it's that sort of attitude that it always astounds me that we spend so much time focused on birth, but then don't quite have that same preparation for looking after their baby.
If you could give moms a top three tips, you know, for that fourth trimester, three things that would stand out in your mind. Look, if you can do these, it's a start. Any moms that may be expecting?
Yeah, so talk to your partner. Find out what it is that they are frightened about, how they want to actually get through that first sort of few weeks after birth, because it may be that they do think it's a good idea to, you know, sleep through the night, even if it's in a separate room, and look after you through the day. Find that out in pregnancy. Pain relief, massive, massive thing. Speak to your pharmacist, speak to your doctor, your midwife, find out what pain relief you can take afterwards and have that in the house and take it as prescribed. Don't wait for the pain to come on. You know, stay on top of it. It's really difficult once you've got pain to get back on top of that pain. And that also helps you to get good quality sleep. If you get good quality sleep, that's, you know, that really deep, deep sleep, that's when your body's regenerating all the tissue and helping you to heal and recover. So that's my three top tips. Plan ahead, get plenty sleep and pain relief.
Yeah, they're very, very helpful tips. You're, of course, we're part of One Born Every Minute on Channel 4. Is that still happening even in COVID times?
We did the lead seasons, which I think were 3 and 4. So I think they're up on like 11 or 12 now. So I don't know if they are filming, if I'm honest, but it was all remote. So there's no reason why they couldn't, if I'm honest.
So the cameras and stuff are all remote. They're just in the hospital all the time. There's no one actually walking around with a camera on their shoulder.
Yeah, tiny little cameras that were all wall mounted. And they would be switched off and face the floor if, you know, if you were, if the woman was in a room that had a camera, but she wasn't on One Born Every Minute, they would be off and put away. But they were always on in our office. And,
sneaky,
you know,
though, isn't it, Leslie? Like, you could, because there's no crew and there's no guy standing there with a boom mic, you could easily forget that the cameras were rolling and say things that maybe you shouldn't be saying out loud.
All the time, especially. So season three was the first time, and we were all a bit cagey. But by the time it came to season four, we knew that anything that was slightly inappropriate or a little bit cheeky, they wouldn't show. So you did, but, you know, you would start to sort of whisper, and then you would hear the cameras whizzing round, and you'd realise that you'd
deny. Well, I suppose that's kind of the point of those kind of shows. I know certainly even with, you know, 24 Hours and A&E and all those, you know, the idea is that the cameras are there, but you do forget as a professional, because then you capture the reality of what's going on and not some kind of, I better perform, you know, this particular way because that's what I think people want to see.
Mm. I was about to say, thank God there's no cameras in here, but actually there are.
There are lots of them, yeah.
Maybe we should watch what we're saying as well.
Leslie Gilchrist, founder of My Expert Midwife, thank you so much for that. I think it's very important that we talk about this, and certainly the points you've made and the plans you've outlined will definitely help a lot of people who are listening today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Great to talk, Leslie. Have a great day.
Bye.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.